Here, we chronicle the stories of successful business owners and executives who stand out from the crowd.
Whether you're driven by purpose or profit, tune in to learn how these leaders have built successful businesses,
helping to shape the landscape of Northern Virginia.
My family's been in the food and beverage industry, honestly, since like 1942. So it's gone through some generations of time. But I think my first memory, my dad's a chef as well. And so I kind of literally grew up since I was like 5 years old, just like always in the restaurant, hanging out in the office, eating pizza after the doctor's office, stuff like that. But I think my first memory is when I started working at like 13. Obviously, like this was before like child labor laws were really a thing. I was, I guess you could say, an assistant host. I would like walk people to the tables with a real host, you know, and that was cool. The restaurant was in DC. It was called Wichino. And I did that, you know, for like the summer to make just like some, I guess you could say that was my way of getting allowance from my parents.
Tell me more about how that progressed. So was your first couple of jobs, you know, once you got into high school, were you still working in the food business? Were you, did you work for some other restaurants?
Yeah. So my first like real job, like, I guess you could say not working for my family's, was actually at Friendly's. I don't know if you guys remember that restaurant. Yeah. So 100%. I called myself they called me the ice cream slave. So like I made like all like, you know, the sundaes and like all the ice cream. And I used to get like so backed up because I was one dude and I had to scoop ice cream, make milkshakes. I would get like 30 tickets. I was like, I think I was 15 and a half, like, or 16, right when I got my license. And I would just get crushed every Saturday and Sunday.
But your forearms were probably jacked. Like you had to have looked like Popeye, yeah. You know,
at the end of it. Definitely, shift. Dude. And they were so like OCD about, you need to flare the ice cream and like make it a nice cone shape so it fits the glass and doesn't smush. I just did terrible. Honestly, I was not very good at that job, to be completely honest.
Well, I think it is interesting though. And I always talk about this. Like I talk about this from like individuals who've worked in the restaurant industry, right? And I started doing that. Like my first job was washing dishes. And then I moved up to doing prep. And then I moved up to being a waiter and then a bartender and things like that. So it's interesting because one of the things that we look at is when you're a business and you're hiring people is we think about like soft skills, right? Like what are the things you know how to do? Like customer service, you know, being, you know, supportive, dealing with difficult situations. Like if you work in a restaurant, you're going to have difficult situations. Like rule number one, don't send your food back. I don't know, like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, what are you looking for when you're hiring employees? Are you looking for kind of the same things or have you found that to be a benefit to many?
Yeah, no, absolutely. At Mighty Meals, we set a level playing field for everyone. So at Mighty Meals, you could come in the door literally with no kitchen, no food and beverage hospitality experience. All I need is that you're motivated and hungry to learn. If you give me those two things, I will give you all the tools and all the things that you need to learn how to either become a prep, a line cook, a packaging person, a bagger, all the way up to a manager someday. You know, all my guys that are on my management level in the kitchen, they started as part-time preps or just part-time cooks. And now, you know, they're full-time salary position with benefits. So it's really cool to see like the growth of individuals through the business.
Well, I think it's also, you know, it's a good time to talk about, you know, your personal evolution, right? So, I mean, tell us a little bit about, you know, Stefano at age, like, let's say 16 through age 20, when you actually started Mighty Meals.
Yeah. So those were four just wild years. You know, in high school, I wasn't the best student. I got terrible grades. I graduated with honestly a 1.9. I'm not embarrassed to say that, you know, I dropped out of culinary school, but like, what got me really into it was I was just not good at taking authority. I just kind of was like, as cliche as it sounds, like a rebel kid. And, you know, what really got me into like food and beverage, you know, obviously my whole family's like involved with it. I got suspended from school for 3 days. So my parents were like, well, you're coming to work for free as punishment. Cause I was like, you know, I was like, oh, I'm suspended. I don't have to go to school. That's great. Whatever. So they put me to work. And then, you know, after like the second day, I was like, man, I like this. I'm on my feet. I'm constantly doing something. I'm like super ADHD. You know, I can never stand still. So I was like, I like I call the restaurant business controlled chaos. So at that point, you know, I was a junior. Senior year, I took a co-op as an elective. So every day I got to leave at 12 and I would just go straight to work in DC. So I would get there around 2:33 and work until like the dinner shift ended, which was about 10:30. I did that 4 days, Monday through Thursday. for all my senior year. Loved it. And then my plan was to go to culinary school. At this point, I graduated, I was 18. I just barely graduated, honestly. Just barely, like, I mean, I walked with everyone, but I just barely made it through, you know? But at this point, I joined culinary school. And then, you know, like halfway, you know, first semester of culinary school, I'm like looking at everything and kind of just like evaluating my life, I guess you could say. I was not bashing culinary school at all, but if I finish this program, I'm going to be $98,000 in debt. So I thought to myself, I can just stop doing this, go stage, go work, just put myself out there in any environment I can find. Like, not only my dad's restaurant, but I went to stage for a chef named Matteo Venini. He was working at Tosca at the time. Now he owns two pizzerias in DC. They're opening a third called Stellina, super popular spot. So I was doing that for a while. And, you know, I didn't tell my parents for like 6 months that I quit. And then once I broke the news to them, they were kind of upset, but they honestly weren't surprised that I did that. Just because, you know, they're my parents. They know, I guess you could say, my track record of how things are. So after that happened, I just started working a ton. All my friends were at college, right? And my biggest fear was failure. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, everyone's going to college. Everyone's getting a degree. And in high school, everyone pushes like, you got to get the degree. You got to go to college. You need to go to a four-year college. If you're not doing that, you're not doing anything with your life. All that, right? So like my anxiety, all that was going through the roof. It was just a weird 2 years of just like kind of finding myself, figuring out what I wanted to do. You know, I was big into fitness. So I worked out a lot. And that's actually where Dan, Alex, and I met at the gym, at Gold's Gym. And Dan was training clients and actually cooking for his clients. By the way, Dan can cook, but he's not, you know, he's no chef. But he can cook. So he was doing this for his clients. And I remember I was about to go on vacation and he stopped me at the gym on a Friday. He was like, hey, man, I got this idea. I know you're a chef because Alex introduced us, because Alex was actually personal training my mom at the time. Alex and I became pretty good friends because, you know, he was training my mom. He was into snowboarding. We liked food. Like, we were kind of all into the same stuff. We had no money, really. I mean, we started the business. Like, we self-funded the business and we got a check from a friend, which we paid back, obviously, for $5,000 to buy our first fridges. Luckily, we rented my dad's kitchen on the after hours. So that's how the business started. We launched July 3rd with like a constant 123 contact form. It wasn't even like a website. It was just like a form with six menu items. And the first week we sold 78 meals. I was like, whoa, this is cool. This is side hustle. Let's go. Right. And that was good. And we kept doing that for like 3 weeks. And then we realized like, wow, there's a lot of moving parts in this business. And at that time, I was 20 years old. Okay. So like at 20 years old, at least my head at the time wasn't like, we're going to scale this thing to a huge company and grow it and grow it and grow it and grow it. So, you know, I was still like, well, I want to have fun, blah, 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 blah. I wasn't truly focused. But after the third week, Alex had all these ideas, really good ideas. Alex is very like micro-oriented and detail-oriented. I'm in between and Dan's more macro. So it's like a good balance, but with the three of us. So we decided to bring Alex on, you know, we're all equal founders at this point. Cause yeah, 3 weeks in, we didn't even have a company yet. We just had like an idea, right? So we needed that third leg to the tripod. Starting a business with no money and no true like direction. The first 18 months were like, I look back, it's like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life till this day. And there were a few turning points in the business that were super good and a few turning points in the business that really were like, oh shit moments. And I know every business owner that has, you know, been in business at least 5 years has definitely gone through these. But the first year and a half, the first year we grew in my dad's kitchen. And after about 11 months of being in that kitchen, it started getting really, really crazy. I mean, to the point where like we would get in there at like 9, 10 p.m. work. We would cook, package, and bag everything by 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and then we'd go deliver it until like 1 p.m. And we did that every weekend for 13 months straight.
Let's break down some numbers. Like, how many meals were you doing, right? And then also, like, because it's just you guys, so how are you? I know, like, Mighty Meals brings them right to your house. So it's like, how were you doing that?
I don't even know how we were honestly holding it together. So year one, you know, it was just us three. And then in the fall, we hired two people, Lindsay, who's not with us anymore. She moved on. She's a pastry chef now. Super happy for her. And our buddy Brandon, who I think he works in law enforcement or something now, but he was just helping us out just in college, you know, side money. He worked at the gym too. So like Dan was like, dude, you know, we'll pay you, we'll give you free food, can you help us type of thing. So we had two employees, you know, for week one, we did 78 meals, you know, after 12 months, we were doing about like 1,000 meals a week. And that was the breaking point out of my dad's kitchen. Now a kitchen, restaurant kitchen is not built for meal prep. They're small, they're skinny. Like meal prep, you need a big square with a ton of refrigeration. So the first year when we got to 1,000 meals, my dad in a, you know, nice way pretty much told me to off. We stuffed the beer cooler with food on the shelves, like over the kegs, and like just like we're taking over. And it was just getting to the point, it was just getting crazy. So then, you know, in a year, the first year had a lot of hardships because we didn't have defined roles. You know, we were three guys. Obviously I'm the chef, but when you start a company, you're doing everything. So besides the cooking, packaging, delivering, you have to grow the business. You need to make, as an owner, you need to make the phone ring, right? In this case, you need to make orders go. So we were always doing events together, doing all this stuff together. Like, and that was a turning point in the business because we were getting so, I guess you could say it got to the point of burnt out. And the business didn't really start to thrive until like, you know, year two and a half, where we designated roles. Stefana, you're going to run the operations of the kitchen. Alex, you're going to do logistics of delivery. Dan, you're going to be in charge of growth and marketing. Once we like designated those roles out, it's crazy because it's like we play to our strengths, right? You know, I'm not good at some things. Dan's not good at some things. Alex is not good at some things, but what we're good at, we should play to those strengths. And then when that happened, we really, truly, truly progressed. It's like we just fell in sync and then the company just started scaling. After those 12 months, we were looking for a place. Dan and Alex actually found this old catering kitchen because they were looking for spots, but they didn't tell me about it because they were scared to get, you know, they were like, Stefano's got to like it. It's rough around the edges, needs a lot of work. And when I saw it, I was like, dude, this is awesome. This is like, I saw like, you know, when you're in the dark tunnel, you see the light. I was like, dude, this is like, we can make this ours. Boom. And it was very reasonable. So we went into this kitchen and at the time it was a shared kitchen that had its own mess of problems within itself. Because at this point we work odd hours and we're working, you know, 15, 20 hour shifts sometimes. And then you're trying to share the kitchen, share for space. The people we were sharing the kitchen with were just very, very difficult to deal with. It was a very stressful year and a half in that kitchen. We're still in that kitchen and now we own the unit next to it. And, you know, we own the entire thing and no one bothers us. But man, you know, the first 2.5 years of the business were just so difficult. And that's, you know, once we got in this kitchen, we started hiring some people. That was a whole mess within itself. At this point, I was like 21, 22, never really managed people, you know? Never really managed people. I was always an extrovert, you know, growing up. I don't mind talking. I don't mind putting myself out there and like leading the team, whatever you want to call it. But when it comes to like people's livelihood and money involved and like, and high stress and, you know, when your name's attached to the bills and loans and all this stuff, it's like, it really starts to put pressure. I'm like 22 at this point. So I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing, right? I'm just doing what I think is best.
Can I ask, did the growth happen? Like you said, the first 2.5 years was really difficult. When you started to kind of get into that controlled chaos, did that also align with the outlook on what you thought Mighty Meals could be? Because I know you started the business really with this meal prep, like for people who are in the, like interested in fitness, who are at your buddies at Gold's. But then now, I mean, the whole market has changed. Did you start to see that as you started to grow?
The year after, since we started the business, the growth has been like very rapid year after year. So, and that's another thing, like with extreme growth comes new, every time you grow, every time you scale, right? There's like, and I've seen companies do it. Kettlebell raised a ton, you know, $30 million. They went out of business, closed their doors a year later. There's such thing as growing too fast. So when growth is good, and I love growing, I'm the, out of all of us, you know, Dan's the most realist. I'm the biggest visionary. And Alex is right in the middle. Again, great balance to have. But with great growth comes, you know, a lot of headache of, you know, because we're dealing with a perishable product too, right? And we're on such crunch deadlines, you know, from when the orders come in and when the food has to go out. So it still is till this day. It's still one of the biggest things is growing too fast. At 23 is when, I guess you could say, the light bulb clicked. And I became hyper obsessed with Mighty Meals and just being able to control and grow, because I was at that point where I'm like, a lot of personal stuff happened and it kind of opened my eyes, and I pretty much bet it all on Mighty Meals. I'm just going to put everything I have towards Mighty Meals. So at 23, a lot of things happened. It wasn't just me. You know, we all played our strengths. We started to get in the groove where, you know, we're about 2.5, 3 years in. So at 23, I've really just got really, really hungry for growth and creating a great business, having great employees with a great culture. So a big turning point was when, this is back when gyms were, you know, thriving and live, you know, we had pickup locations, and Vita Fitness was one of the big heavy hitters in DC. A lot of people know who they are. They're kind of like that elite gym. They were partnered with Territory at the time, and their dietitian actually emailed and reached out to us and said they're not happy with them and pretty much wanted to speak to us. I'll never forget that day. What closed the deal was a Peruvian chicken. We had a meeting with the CEO, and he was so late that he kind of had to cancel. So it was kind of just like a 30-second, hey, what's up? Here's the meals, bye. So that happened. And us, you know, Dan, Alex, and I after went and got coffee, and we're like kind of down, like, damn, we didn't even get to really, you know, pitch ourselves. But anyways, an hour later, we're at the coffee, kind of like down, and we get the email from the dietitian who originally reached out, forwarding us the email from the CEO saying pretty much in the lines like, what do we need to do to make the switch? So at that point, it was just like one of those small victories that's just like, you know, we're the little guy sticking it to the man. We didn't get this hyper money like Territory or Kettlebell or, you know, Freshly, like these hyper evaluations. But that was also a very negative turning point, because with that much growth that fast, we had a scale. So this was 2018 now. And that partnership came. And obviously, you're not going to turn down business like that, right? So we had to grow the business. We invested a ton of money into our infrastructure, which was great in the long term. In the short term, it was like, we're, you know, lines of credits. We're trying to, you know, friends and family raises, you know. We collected a lot of debt to, you know, put it back into our infrastructure to make our company, pretty much we put it into our kitchen. 2018 was definitely, I guess you could say, a loss recovery year, but we were still growing so rapidly. So it was good, right? 2019 was really, really good to us too, because we got up to like 70 pickup locations and we were doing good. You know, we were showing face, we were at locations, we were becoming that, like, it's us and I guess you could say Territory in the DMV. We're just becoming that company, like right there with them. And it's ignorant to say, you know, you don't know your competition. That's just ignorant in my mind. But, you know, 2018, great year. We're in December now. We're ramping up 2020. Everyone's all in. We're all hyped. You know, I didn't even mention, you know, on the management side when we scaled. So we hired a guy named Meezy. He's our CTO, one of our partners. Tiffany, she's one of our partners. She's a partner too. She's in charge of partnerships and communications. We have Jill, which is Alex's sister. She's our GM and in charge of customer service. She's awesome. Pablo is literally my right-hand man in the kitchen. He handles day-to-day operations in the kitchen. My brother works for the company too. A lot of people working for the company on the management side. 2020 comes around and we're, you know, it's like, this year's going to be crazy. We have a lot of stuff in the pipe. You know, Meezy just built a new website with all these added features and all these cool things. Like, we're super pumped to start building like new gym relationships. And then, you know, March hits and it's just like spirals. And it, for that month, it's like, I remember I was sitting at Glory Days with my buddies watching the news. It was like March 8th, right? I just bought a house too on March 8th. So I was like, well, this isn't good. Like, Mighty Meals could tank. I don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, this was bad. March 15th, like, I think it was 15th or 16th, everything starts shutting down. And then I was like, started getting real nervous. I was like, man, what's next? Is this going to be good? Going to be bad? Are we going in a recession? So we started getting involved. We just kept going, right? We just kept going, you know, doing what we're doing. We got involved with first responders. We created the Mighty Movement and just feeding frontline workers and trying to save, you know, local restaurants. We partnered up with Real Food for Kids and just started giving back as much as we could possibly could. We were doing good. Mighty Meals did good in 2020. And I hate to say that, you know, for a year that was so hard for so many people. That's why we've all felt obligated that we need to give back as much as possible and help as much as we possibly could. So it was a real blessing that I didn't have to let anyone go or, you know, fire anyone. None of my staff had to go on unemployment. I thank God every day for that. That's probably one of the hardest things to do as an owner, to, you know, people that, you know, make their livelihood working for you, just having to fire them just because of a world pandemic. It sucks. You know, I saw my fellow like business owner friends have to go through that, and that's terrible. So, and it was a good year. We grew a lot. We learned a lot about our business too, because we got rid of pickup locations early on because gyms shut down, right? So right now we just straight home delivery 4 days a week, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. I think moving forward, we're going to stay with that model. Logistically, it makes more sense for our company to do things that way. And the route we plan to go in the next 24 months, it just makes a lot more sense to us. We have grown to new territories. You know, we cater to a ton of Maryland. I didn't even talk about like the new areas we've grown into as far as Maryland, Annapolis, Clarksburg, Stafford, all those areas.
I live out in Warrenton, and I was amazed when the Mighty Meals delivery van rolled up in my driveway.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like, yeah, they are coming out here. Cool. Yeah. They actually knew where I was.
We've expanded a lot. And that, yeah, it just like, it's just so much. I haven't been on a podcast in a long time. So like when I think back, like I've been doing this almost, you know, 6 years Labor Day. So about 5.5 years, maybe now. It's just amazing how much has happened in that 5.5 years. And it's just hard to like jumble, like get all my thoughts gathered together in a specific timeline, because it happens so fast, mm-hmm. You know?
So Derek had mentioned that he thought, you know, the pandemic would really grow, you know, had to have been good for your business. But when I think back, like I would have thought that it would have been horrible for your business, because you think about the type of people, or I thought about the type of people that use your service. People can't really go to the gym. They have more time at home to cook. So I would have thought that it would have had a really negative impact, but it seems like that it was kind of the opposite. So I have to ask, like, do you feel as if with this growth of meal prep services, do you feel as if it's a shift in behavior, or that you're targeting really a new demographic?
When we started the company early on, Alex, Dan, and I were always in the same alliance as far as our target market. We never wanted to target just athletes and bodybuilders, because, you know, that's probably like less than 5% of the general population, right? So our target market were your everyday young entrepreneur that doesn't have time to eat or cook healthy, your moms, your dads, your first responders, doctors, lawyers, you know, people. We live in such a fast, Northern Virginia, just Nova, right? The DMV, it's just so fast paced. And it's all like business, 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 you know, always moving, constantly growing, all this stuff that like people literally forget to eat. I know I still do it sometimes. I'm like, oh man, it's 4 p.m. I've just been downing coffee all day. I forgot to eat. So we always just targeted the general public. And I think that's been really good for us to this day. And we'll continue to do so.
But I think there is something really cool about that too. When you go back to your menu, it's not just that people don't eat, it's that when they do eat, sometimes they don't eat well. You know, it's a lot easier to go to a drive-thru than it is to, you know, have the things ready to be able to do that at home, right?
Are you talking about yourself, Derek?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I am throwing myself in that category, but the fact is that with Mighty Meals, you can buy like super healthy meals, right? Generally that cater to whatever diet you're doing. And it just comes back to how you started. Like, I just think that's the coolest part is like, you know, you start catering to individuals and fitness centers and gyms and things like that. But, you know, like we had a previous guest on, Mike McDermott from Inquisit. And I know you guys know each other, and he's talked about Mighty Meals in the past. I mean, he's a bodybuilder. So, you know, it is really cool that you can cater to the general public, but they can also eat healthy. So you want to talk to us a little bit about like what's driving that for the business and like if that has helped you in that process to stand out?
Yeah, definitely. So we have over 100 menu items. We have all nationalities on the menu. My background's Italian, so there is a good amount of Italian influence. Pablo was born and raised in Mexico, so there is a lot of Spanish influence and flavors, but we have all type of influences on the menus. I always wanted to be the meal prep company that has something for everybody. So we have, you know, low carb, keto friendly, vegetarian, vegan, pescatarian, high carb, just so many options and diet restrictions options out there. Whatever you really like are looking for, it's out there. Then we have an a la carte menu, which is protein, carbs, vegetables by the pound, which is nice. So if you need some extra protein, you can throw, you know, order a pound of bulk chicken and throw it in one of your meals, or just order, you know, a pound of bulk steak, a pound of sweet potato, and a pound of green peans, and kind of just make your own meals if you want to be on that more strict diet. We also have breakfast. We have a ton of snack options as well. So we just wanted to create a one-stop shop for, you know, healthy eating solutions and deliver it at a well-priced and convenient.
And the convenience factor is a huge part. Like, I mean, I told you before, like, you know, my wife, you know, she said all she wanted for a push present was Mighty Meals, right? You know, when we had our third child. And it's just the convenience factor of being able to do that. You nuke it. You know, we would do the protein trays, you know, and just buy lettuce at the store because you know when you're going to have the salad, right? It might be a day, yep. 2 days, 3 days, whatever, and just do that all the time. But yeah, I think the other big part I come back to on this is, you know, when you're growing at the pace you are, like what is the biggest bottleneck in terms of what you're doing right now? Like, is the biggest bottleneck like new customers? Is the biggest bottleneck production, or is it the actual delivery side? Like, where's the next hurdle?
So right now it's a little bit of two of the three things you said. It's our facility. We're getting to the point where, you know, we're running about 70% capacity, which you should never really run over 50, 60, right? And then our delivery logistics, because we do everything in-house. There are vehicles, our employees, everything. Business is definitely there. Definitely new business is also there for the grabs. So that's not really the issue. The issue, honestly, is the facility right now. And we're actively looking for new facilities in the area to grow. Big plan 2021 is to build a new facility and start, you know, expanding our reach out across state lines, as far as Connecticut down to Florida. We really want to grow the health and fresh side of Mighty Meals to other regions, to new territories. But we can't do that in our current facility, unfortunately, due to space. If I told you how much we produce in our little kitchen, it's pretty crazy. I'm not going to disclose those numbers, but what we do in 2,900 square feet is everyone I've brought into our facilities widely impressed how we do it. And that goes back to just building systems. Every time you grow, you have to build new systems and being on top of it and having your finger on the pulse all the time.
If we look at the current environment right now during the pandemic, food delivery services, which I know they're different than what you all do, but I think of Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, have all grown rapidly. And there's a lot of criticism around them building and growing their businesses really on the backs of small businesses and low-income workers. So I want to ask your opinion on where you think the future is headed for companies like that. And I also, you can bring up, I know that you are a part owner in Taco Rock, which is one of my favorite restaurants right now. So maybe some of your thoughts and experience on that.
Yeah, I mean, I personally hate Uber Eats. In the food business, your profit margin's already super small. You're working on volume. And then, you know, you got a company like Uber Eats just comes and says, you know, I'm going to market you, put you on my platform, yada, yada, and I'm still going to take 30%, right? That's just ridiculous. You're pretty much taking all the profit. So, you know, like a lot of restaurants, Taco Rock does not do this, but a lot of restaurants inflate their online order price on Uber Eats or DoorDash. That's why, like for small like restaurants and business owners, we recommend ordering directly through the restaurant's website. Because, the you know, some restaurants do inflate their prices on the delivery apps to make up for the 30% that they're getting pulled from, you know, Uber Eats. I do think the future of dining is going to be a lot more delivery based, fast casual, and, you know, away from these fine dining establishments. I think I think fast casuals and delivery is like is here to stay. We all know meal kits is a dying breed, like Blue Apron, Plated. I think meal prep, being able to customize things, they like convenience and they like getting value. You know, if you can get a meal under $12 and you're full and you get that value, I'm happy. You know, I'm 26. I'm happy with that. I'm good. So that's where I think the direction of dining is going, at least for the next 5 to 10 years.
We also talk about, you know, you mentioned millennials, right? And I noticed your ads, right? So, you know, you're doing a lot of digital marketing. So tell us a little bit, like, do you have any opinion on like digital marketing, influencer marketing, et cetera, and kind of where that is today and how it's helping your business?
I'm no specialist in that. That's Meezy. He's the guru behind it. He runs all our ads platforms. He pretty much tells me the content to gather and I gather it and he, you know, does his magic. But, you know, again, like millennials, they get bored really fast. So like if the ad isn't engaging in the first 2 to 3 seconds, it's done, right? So we're trying some new strategies in this coming weeks with our ads and our marketing. But I think as far as ads and stuff, it is very saturated too. Like especially Instagram, right? And Facebook, the ads are getting more and more saturated. So it's getting a little harder and you have to get really creative with it, right? And then you constantly have to keep refreshing it. Because as soon as you, I guess, bring the next best thing, there's 3 other companies watching you because all they need to do is go on Facebook ad library and they can search every, it's public knowledge, right? And then they start seeing what, you know, like other coder, like other people like Meezy that do this ad and marketing campaigns, they can see other companies and everyone can kind of gauge, like, you know, can look at other companies and, well, they're doing all the back work for us. They're having success with that. We can take that. So you constantly have to keep refreshing and stay new and stay hip, I guess you could say.
And I'm curious. So right now marketing is difficult, but it's at least isolated to this area. So you talk about moving out of your current kitchen into another one. Are you going to expand production? Are you looking to grow outside the DC region?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all in for Mighty Meals. I've been saying this for like 2-3 years now to anyone that asks, like, I am all in. I know Alex and Dan are all in. We really want to grow this thing as big as we possibly can. We believe we have a great brand, a great product, and a great mission. You know, the goal is to build a state-of-the-art facility that can keep the quality as high as possibly possible and still be able to deliver fresh food across state lines. That is the goal for 2021, and we'll see what happens.
What about, like, you know, in your partnership and kind of the way you work together? I mean, talk to us a little bit too. It sounds like a lot of this happened organically, but like, what's the value of having those good partnerships? Like, you talk about everyone being, you know, specialized in terms of their role, like, but with such growth, do you guys ever butt heads on stuff?
Absolutely. You know, you have 3 very like strong-minded individuals that are also very opinionated. So obviously we do butt heads. Early on, this was quite a challenge for us 3. Dan and I have definitely gotten our few little argument, well, few big arguments. Alex and I have gotten our few arguments, especially, you know, when you have a business involved and your livelihood's involved, like things definitely can get heated. But over the years, we've gotten really good at respecting each other's opinion and hearing each other out and then, you know, giving our rebuttal. So lately, you know, even if we have, you know, a disagreement, we're really good at hearing each other out, respecting each other's opinions. And we usually find a common middle ground because at the end of the day, all we want is the best for Mighty Meals. So it's been good. It's been good.
Do you want to talk more too about the give back that you all do? Because your newsletters or your email campaigns, I'll say I don't read most that come to me, but the Mighty Meals I do read. So that is like one email campaign I do read because you guys do it well. It's simple to the point. I like to see what you're doing because it's a lot of give back, but it seems like that's been ingrained in your culture since the organization started. So is that something you want to expand upon or is that like a focus with the pandemic?
No, I absolutely want to expand upon that. And when we get to that new facility and we're able to have a bigger reach, I would love to find some bigger regional partnerships. Right now, our biggest one is Real Food for Kids, Chefs Feeding Families Initiative. Silver Diner is involved, Bayou Bakery, and some other good brands. And it's just, it really is, it's a feel-good thing to be able to even have the opportunity to help, right? to be in that position to give back and help is a great feeling. And I want to continue, and we want to continue to grow on that. It's a great initiative, and I definitely want to expand on it any which way we possibly can as we grow with them and other organizations. We're always opening to partnering up and help feeding people in need.
Well, one of the other things I'll ask too is, you know, when it comes down to the area and the region, you know, it's interesting because Northern Virginia, I know that probably a big part of what fuels your business is, you know, frankly, discretionary income. You know, the ability for people to be able to spend money on, you know, prepared meals, right? So, but like as a business, I can't imagine it's always that easy, especially with the cost of labor, space, et cetera. So why Northern Virginia for you?
We were all born and raised in Northern Virginia, kind of just like my hometown. I really do believe in Nova. I think Nova is a very strong area as far as what's happening. You know, big business is coming. I think it's growing. I think it'll continue. You know, you look at Tyson's in 10 years, what's happened to Tyson's? It's crazy, you know? And I think, you know, I think Northern Virginia will continue to thrive. I think it's here for the long run.
Well, what about, you mentioned growth. So, I mean, like, do you guys anticipate a big swing with Amazon? Like, you know, that's probably a big thing to think about. I mean, with HQ2 coming here, I mean, when you're talking about a big business relocating, like for example, we're seeing the same thing right now with, you know, the move from California. You know, these huge companies are moving to places like Austin, Miami, New York, et cetera. So like, yeah. So like, what are you forecasting with that? Like, you think that's going to be good for you as a business, or do you think it'll present new challenges?
Absolutely. I have a few friends that actually work for AWS and Amazon. I think it'll be good for us when, you know, the full switch has been migrated and everyone, you know, Amazon has scaled up. A lot of those people are millennials who are super busy, you know, don't really have time to cook or necessarily want to cook. So I definitely think there is opportunity to capitalize once that happens. And we're definitely going to be there to take it.
Well, I want to finish out this or close down with, what's next for Stefano? Like, do you plan on, I know you're all in with Mighty Meals, but you also have some partnerships with restaurants. Like, are you staying in the restaurant business? Like, what else do you want to do?
I mean, personally, my goal is to make Mighty Meals a national brand. I want to, in 5 years, deliver in the lower 48 states with a hub on the East Coast and a hub on the West Coast. That's my goal. I think about it every day. You can ask Alex and Dan. I annoy them about it like every week. That's just what I want to grow Mighty Meals to. You know, I want to be that meal company that has over 500 employees and, you know, just delivering like crazy. I want to be up there with the big, big meal prep companies. I really do, because, you know, I started this thing at 20. I'm 26 now. I got a lot of fire left in me. And, you know, I'm always whatever it takes mentality. As far as the restaurant business, it always has a soft spot in my heart, I guess, because that's like kind of where I grew up in. So I want to stay in it. You know, I want to continue to open restaurants and be involved in restaurants. You know, a big goal of mine is to honestly open up an Italian concept at some point in my life. But as of right now, my main focus is scaling Mighty Meals to the next leg.
We certainly appreciate you coming on to like share all of this. But let me ask you this, like, where are you going to be 5 to 10 years from now? Because, you know, I think about individuals like you, like we actually had Scott Parker on as well. Yeah. And with Scott Parker, you know, he talked about just like busting his hump all through all of this. Like, does Stefano get time for Stefano, or like, do you get free time to yourself? Like, do you get to go enjoy life?
I do. Yeah. No, I do.
Not, I was going to say that's the hardest, based on that, that's like the hardest question so far.
Yeah. No,
or maybe you reflect.
Yeah.
I definitely do. You know, could I get more time off? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, like, if you want to do something you never had, you got to be willing to do, you know, you got to be willing to really, really put in the work, you know,
right?
Like, overnight successes, I don't believe in them. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, the person who wins is the person who outlasts. So again, I'm 26. If I have to do, you know, literally grind it out another 10, 15 years to get to what I want Mighty Meals to be, I'll do it. I mean, doesn't bother me.
And what's that end goal look like for you? I mean, like, do you see this as kind of like, you know, like a family legacy item, or do you plan an exit? Like, I don't know if you can talk about that or not, but like, where would you be happiest? Would you be happiest running this and having your name attached to it for the rest of your life?
I've been asked that quite a few times. And, you know, Dan, Alex, and I definitely talk about that sometimes. And I guess there's no right or wrong answer right now. You know, I'm focused right now. I'm focused right now and the 3-year goal, right? So like, I can't even answer that. You know, if someone just came in and just want to swoop up the company, I really don't have an answer for that. You know, I don't believe Mighty Meals is to its full potential, not anywhere close to what it can be. So at this point, I would say, you know, I'm going to keep riding the wave.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Well, and Derek and I are happy to have you, especially in this area, because we think that Mighty Meals has a lot of potential as well. We gift it often. We also utilize it ourselves. Derek, probably not enough. I see him eating his granola bars for lunch. But we're so...
Beef. I get protein. I get beef sticks.
That's right.
Slim Jims.
Yeah.
Yes. But we're so happy to have you in this area. If people want to, you know, learn more about you, try out Mighty Meals, where do you want us to direct them?
EatMightyMeals.com, or you can follow us on social media at EatMightyMeals.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in. You can listen to this episode and subscribe to future episodes on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give us that 5-star review so that we can get our podcast out to more and more listeners. If you are a business leader or know of any business leaders that you would like to nominate to be a guest on the show, please visit us at thenovabusinesspodcast.com.